Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, September the 25th, Ukraine denies its president was involved in a political controversy involving Donald Trump. 91 Syrian refugees safely set foot in Italy thanks to the Humanitarian Corridors Initiative that today receives the prestigious 2019 Nansen Award for refugees. And Pope Francis says the church today is rich in martyrs. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Ukraine has urged the United States to continue in its support for the country as it continues to battle against pro-Russian separatists. The call comes as U.S. President Donald Trump faces an impeachment inquiry over allegations that he initially withheld hundreds of millions in aid to pressure Kiev to investigate political rival Joe Biden's son, who's doing business in Ukraine. Stefan Boss reports.
Volodymyr Zelensky, the comedian who was only elected Ukraine's leader in April, is already facing a political storm of international proportions. The 41-year-old political novice is under pressure to reveal whether U.S. President Donald Trump pressured him to investigate political rival Joe Biden's son, who is doing business in Ukraine amid corruption allegations. President Trump is facing an impeachment inquiry because he is suspected of pressuring Zelensky over the summer to investigate Biden's family. That happened while he was withholding nearly $400 million in military aid to the Eastern European nation. President Zelensky told reporters, however, that he expected U.S. support to continue. He says it's okay, we are ready for everything. We have an independent nation. We are prepared for everything. He also makes clear that Ukraine continues to expect support from the United States, but he adds, we don't need just help. We are already a strong state. We just want the United States to always support Ukraine and Ukraine's course against aggression and war. He referred to the ongoing battle against pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine that killed more than 13,000 people, as well as Russia's annexation of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula. In a television interview over the weekend, Ukraine's foreign minister denied President Zelensky was pressured to investigate Biden's son. U.S. President Trump also said the money was transferred to Ukraine, and he denied he had pressured Ukraine's president. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Today, Wednesday, the 25th of September, is the date of the official prize-giving ceremony during which the 2019 UNHCR European Nansen Award for Refugees takes place. The prestigious prize has been awarded to the Humanitarian Corridors Initiative, promoted by the Community of St. Egidio, the Federation of Evangelical Churches in Italy, the Waldensian Table and Che Caritas Italy, for assuring a safe passage to people who are forced to flee war and persecution. Thanks to their humanitarian corridors since February 2016, more than 2,000 refugees have been issued with legal humanitarian visas for Italy, while the promoters of the program have guaranteed their transfer as well as the reception and the assistance needed to integrate them into Italian society. The prize-giving ceremony in Rome coincides with the arrival at the city's airport of 91 Syrian refugees from Lebanon who have been able to make the journey thanks to the Humanitarian Corridors project. As always, promoters of the initiative organise a warm welcome at the airport for the refugees before accompanying them to their new homes. Danait Gush Gulebrasi, a 28-year-old asylum seeker from Eritrea, speaks of how the Humanitarian Corridors project has given her the possibility of hoping for a fulfilling and dignified life.
It's a very great opportunity for me and for all those who come through this path, because it gives you the chance to come to Italy legally and safely without having any kind of troubles and without making your life in danger. And then when you come here, you get to continue your studies or to work and have a normal life, what a person has to have.
Why did you feel the need to leave your country?
Because, first of all, there's this military service, which is endless. You do your military service from 18 years till you are alive, let's say, in brief. And there's no democracy. You don't get to study. You don't get the chance to have a family, a normal life, a decent life, what everyone deserves to have. And there's no democracy after all, no facility. So because the country is very, it's not open to the world. There's no internet. You don't get to in touch with people around the world. And various things that they don't let you have a normal life.
Yeah. Can you tell me just briefly what you're doing now in Italy? How is your life?
I'm at the beginning, so I'm trying to have a new life, and I'm trying to continue my studies and work.
What do you hope for the future?
I hope it's going to be very good because I have so many plans, and hopefully everything goes well.
And that was Danait Gush, an asylum seeker from Eritrea in Italy, thanks to the humanitarian corridors. A major new United Nations report is warning that climate change is devastating our seas and frozen regions as never before. According to a UN panel of scientists, waters are rising, the ice is melting, and species are moving habitat due to human activities. The report contains some hope that the worst impacts can be avoided with deep and immediate cuts to carbon emissions. Pope Francis has sent a message to the participants of Unitalsi's national pilgrimage to Lourdes. As Francesca Merlo reports, Unitalsi is run by volunteers and the pilgrims travel to the sanctuary in search of serenity and comfort in a difficult time.
In 1903, a suffering man made the pilgrimage to Lourdes in hope of being cured from his sufferance and with plans of taking his own life in the case in which he wasn't. Though he did not find physical healing from the deforming arthritis from which he was affected, he found emotional and spiritual healing. He found faith, he found hope, and he found love. The man, Giovanni Battista Tomasi, decided that other people suffering from whatever it may be should be given the chance to experience the same life-changing comfort that he did from his pilgrimage to Lourdes. That is how Unitalsi was born, an Italian acronym meaning the Italian National Union of Transport for the Ill to Lourdes and International Sanctuaries, or, more specifically, a volunteer association that organises and accompanies the ill, the disabled, the elderly and anyone in need of help to Lourdes and to other international sanctuaries. In his telegram on the occasion of the next pilgrimage to Lourdes, on behalf of Pope Francis, Cardinal Pietro Parolin writes that the Holy Father, who is spiritually present with the pilgrims and volunteers on their journey, hopes that this significant experience of prayer and of brotherly charity may help each person to recognize Jesus, suffering and glorious, present in each person. He also expresses his hope that the pilgrims will experience a consolation and hope that comes from faith. He concludes his telegram by assuring that he will be keeping them in his prayers. The Unitalsi website reads that their way of life leads us to walk together every day, even once the pilgrimage is over. For this reason, since 2001, the charity has been working to make life easier for those in need, from help for the young, to help in homes, and to organising holidays. Along with being a volunteer association, it also works to promote civil service, a job which they say would not be possible without sisters, stretcher bearers, families, health workers, young people, priests, people with disabilities and benefactors, all described as the souls that move and give meaning to the association. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And organised by the Teze community, an international pilgrimage of trust began in Cape Town, South Africa today. Sean Patrick Lovett tells us more.
It's called a pilgrimage because the participants do a lot of walking. Several thousand young people representing different faiths and cultures have come to the southernmost tip of Africa from as far afield as Madagascar, Uganda, Tanzania and the Ivory Coast. It's called a pilgrimage of trust because it challenges those young people with their different origins, denominations and social backgrounds to experience diversity and community all at the same time. It's organized by Teze because that's what the France-based community does. It brings together small groups and individuals and gives them the opportunity to meet, work and pray with all kinds of people in the places where they live. Previous such gatherings in Zagreb, Sarajevo, Cochabamba and Nairobi saw complete strangers open their homes and offer hospitality to young people from countries that were at war with them until recently. It's that kind of simple encounter that breaks down barriers, preconceptions, prejudice, fear and resentment. Much of that fear and resentment was behind the xenophobic violence of the past weeks in South Africa, a violence that's eroding the trust that often held communities together. Which is why, in the current South African context, any invitation to cross barriers in order to welcome and enrich one another, to experience solidarity, to worship the same God, and to share hope is extremely powerful. The invitation to the event promises it will be much more than just a pilgrimage of trust. An ecumenical and international meeting like this one, to which all the communities of the Rainbow Nation are invited and also asked to host, it reads, is a real fresh opportunity for their region, a contribution to celebrating and supporting the hope which South Africa already embodies. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
And finally today, Pope Francis continued his catechesis on the Acts of the Apostles. He was speaking to the crowds present in St. Peter's Square for the general audience. Robin Gomes tells us more.
Pope Francis explained that since the first Christian community was made of people from various backgrounds, it created fragile and precarious balances, giving way to discontent and slander. The Greeks grumbled that the community was neglecting their widows. To solve the problem, the apostles decide to distribute tasks among the members, ensuring that the duties of prayer and preaching of the gospel on the one hand and caring for the poorest members of the community on the other are not compromised. They establish a nucleus of seven reputable men filled with the spirit and wisdom called deacons who will take care of the community's service and charity. Outstanding among the seven is Stephen, who evangelizes with force, but his opponents are all out to destroy him with slander and false witness.
Questo cancro diabolico che è la calunnia e nasce dalla volontà di distruggere.
Describing slander as a diabolic cancer that kills, the Holy Father said it is born of the desire to destroy a person's reputation. Stephen is produced before the Sanhedrin and accused falsely by his slanderers, but he courageously denounces the hypocrisy with which the prophets and Christ himself were treated. Stephen, who is condemned to death by stoning, manifests the true stuff of the disciple of Christ by putting his life back in the hands of the Lord and forgiving his killers as Jesus did. Pope Francis said that martyrs teach us that it is not beautiful speeches that reveal our identity as children of God, but only the abandonment of our lives in the hands of the Father and forgiving those who offend us. The Pope said that the Church today is rich in martyrs.
Oggi sono più i martiri che in tempo dell'inizio della Chiesa.
The Holy Father said that today there are more martyrs than at the time of the beginning of the Church. The Church is irrigated by their blood, which is the seed of new Christians, which ensures the growth and fruitfulness of the people of God. I'm Robin Gomes.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at the same time for more. My thanks go to Mario Scatton in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.